Shall we read together, please, in the 84th Psalm? Psalm 84, reading at verse 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways to Zion, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts are better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. May the Lord bless to us the reading of this psalm. It's a good thing when you're reading the psalm to read the title, because we believe it gives to us some insight as to the background of the psalm. And you'll notice that in this psalm, it is a psalm for the sons of Korah. Now to me that makes the psalm most interesting, in fact intensely interesting, particularly when we see the material that the Spirit of God has given to us in this psalm. If a young believer was reading the psalms, he would find that there are 11 of these psalms, and they're all for the sons of Korah. There's one comes in between, and if I had my way, I would put it there as well to make 12. And I believe that you would have the great number of administration in relation to the house and to the things of God. I think that before you read the psalm, or before we say very much about it, and we're going to do that quickly, it would be well for us to take a look at the background of these people that are spoken of as the sons of Korah. You know, I find it most stirring when I think about them, because the first thing I want to point out to you, and I never apologize for simplicity when it comes to the matter of salvation, the very first thing we are impressed with in regards to the sons of Korah, that they were men who were spared. To me, that's a remarkable thing. And I think that the older we get, the more we appreciate the fact that we have been spared the judgment of God. As life goes on and we get near the glory, one of the sweetest things, it might be elementary, it may be all that, but I'll assure you of this, there's nothing sweeter to meet a saint that's nearing the glory and they're filled with the joy of God's salvation. In other words, they appreciate what God has accomplished for them in the person of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. If you're in any doubt about that, listen to another man. And here's what he cried out. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If you're enjoying God's salvation, you're enjoying the person of the Lord Jesus. And if your heart is filled with deep appreciation, because you know you look good to me this afternoon, but with a man on the platform to the last saint in the hall, there's not one of us deserve to be saved. We often say, why were we made to hear thy voice? And enter while there's room, while multitudes make a wretched choice, and would rather starve than come. The first thing that really stirs me about these men, the sons of Korah, they were men who were spared. If you go to the background of that statement, you'll find one day there was a voice, and it was the voice of God. And I hope that during these conference meetings, above all else, we have got beyond the voice of men, and that we really have heard the voice of God. It was the voice of God that arrested the sons of Korah, and the word went out that day in a dark day of desperate rebellion. Separate yourselves from the tents of these wicked men. And you find the sons of Korah separated themselves, even though they were linked intimately with family ties. They stood aloof from their father and from their family. And the Spirit of God says this, notwithstanding, the sons of Korah died not. So you see, family relationships meant nothing to them. Then it was a question of the honor and jealousy for the God of Israel. I do think that in our day, we need to learn that lesson well. That in the matter of the things of God and the truth of God and the assembly of God, our family ties fall into insignificance when it comes to a matter of the Lord's glory. They were spared men. I tell you another thing about them, beloved child of God. They were separated men because they were separated unto the Lord and unto His honor. Here were men that felt within their soul the honor of God was at stake, and there was nothing too costly in relation to their exercise whereby they stepped aside from all that stood in relation to nature, and they took their side and their stand for the honor of God that day in Israel. There's something else about them. These separated men, they were not only servants, and their service was this. If you look sometime at the first book of the Chronicles, chapter 9, and verse 19, it stirs me when I think about it, because you see, it's progressive in spiritual achievement and attainment. They were not only spared, but they were separated. And you know, I believe this, God, by the Holy Spirit of God, saved us to separate us. Not only to separate us from an ungodly world, but separate us to the man who died for us upon Calvary's tree. They were servants, and in that particular chapter, they were sentinels at the gate. In other words, they were keepers of the gates, says the Spirit of God. What a wonderful privilege. Do you know our greatest need today, beloved saints? It's men who are true sentinels of the gates. Men who will stand for the honor of God, and they'll keep this in their mind, that they'll give the benefit of the saints inside rather the benefit of a stranger who comes from the outside. It's a good thing to keep that in mind. We have brethren with large hearts and will embrace anything. I want to tell you the sons of Korah were sentinels at the gate. They were the keepers of the gates. And dear brethren, that very theme suggests to us, here were men who had an abiding interest for the preservation of all that was associated with the testimony of God. I'll tell you something else about them. They were not only spared. They were not only separated men. They were not only sentinels of the gates, but you know they were satisfied men. For these are the men who said, all my well springs are in thee. My, what a wonderful thing for the child of God to be able to say, with a full heart, take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever, through eternal years the same. They can look up and say, out of an honest heart, all my well springs are in thee. I need nothing, only the sufficiency and the spiritual satisfaction of fellowship with God and relationship with his beloved Son. If you were to read these Psalms, 11 of them, that carry this title for the sons of Korah, you'll find that they're Psalms that are interested in the house of God. You'll find that there are Psalms that are interested in the altar of God. You'll find in Psalm 45 they're interested in the throne of God. And you'll find here in Psalm 84 they're interested in the people of God. In other words, they're interested in the house of God and its dignity. Their altar, they're interested in the altar of God and its sanctity. They are interested in the throne of God and its authority. And they're interested in the people of God in relation to their journey. That brings me to the Psalm. What I've said is introductory, because I couldn't come to the Psalm without filling you in the background of men who were spared, men who were separated, men who were satisfied with the house of God, and men who were sentinels at the gates. I would say if we have men like that associated with the assemblies of God, we'll have no bother, brethren. We'll have no difficulty. We'll have the utmost confidence in them. Men who love the great matter of their salvation and appreciate it. Men who have been truly separated, not onto principles or persons, but onto the person of the Lord Jesus. Men who are satisfied and can say, all my well springs are in thee. And men who are happily associated with the people of God gathered alone to the name of the Lord Jesus. I want you to look at this psalm with me. And I want you to notice the first thing that marks the psalm. And I'm not surprised that it opens like this. How amiable, how lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. There is the spiritual outgoing and outworking of a heart that has a deep appreciation, because that's the first thing that marks the psalm. Have we an appreciation for the one unto whom we're gathered, to that which is near to the heart of God? Why, these are the men, and they said this, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. You know, the older I get, there are two things that I deeply appreciate. I appreciate the fact that God saved me. God knows I do. I appreciate that fact. Singled out from a home where there was none saved. God in his mercy coming in and saving me. I do appreciate that. Brethren, if we ever lose the luster and joy of that, we have lost our power for testimony. God, keep us simple. The old hymn says, Jesus, keep me near the cross. It's a place of preservation. But I tell you as well, I remember so clearly in my mind when I was separated. And I wasn't brought up in the assembly, as you can understand from my simple testimony to God's salvation. But I could tell you, I passed it dozens of times on this trip. And you know, there was one young man said, he said, if I had met you sooner, I would have loved to have taken you through shorts. Now, I really wasn't interested in going through shorts to see their new prototype planes or anything like that. But God knows if he had only taken me, I would have taken him by the hand to a place yonder, what we called the Minor Hall in part of the aircraft factory, and I would have showed him a spot that's very precious to me. It's like the old change, and the brethren, why, some of them are in the work of God too, but I remember when I sat in a Bible reading, only a fledgling, just recently saved. Yes, I had been baptized. And you know those dear brethren, they were kind and patient to me, and for about a year, they put into my soul the simple principles of the assembly, and I want to tell you, over nearly 49 years, I have had never any reason at all in the reading of the Word of God to change my mind about what they taught me. Because they taught me clearly and plainly, thus saith the Lord. I argued with them. They were kind to me. They didn't say, now look, if you're going to argue here, don't you come back here. Take your can and your piece and eat somewhere else. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They encouraged me to come back. They knew they had me on the hook. And they were good, wise fishermen. You know, sometimes when the fish is biting, the idea is haul it in. No, you'll break the rod and the hook and the line that way. Just play it. Give it a lot of play. And those brethren used to give me lots of play. And I would come with my little weak puny arguments. And they would just take the feet from me with the Word of God. I would to God we had men like that today. Men that could face every argument, my friend, not with what they think, but what the Word of God says. That's what we are interested in. We are not thinking of men's notions and men's ideas. If it's not what saith the Lord, then we don't want it. The day's too late, beloved child of God, to be occupied with anything that hasn't the stamp of God's approval. We'll soon be at the judgment seat of Christ. Time's running out for us. Here are men with deep appreciation in relation to the testimony of God. It was in their hearts. And I remember when I sat back in those early weeks, week after week, and I used to say, I wonder when they're going to receive me. But I didn't fight it, brother, and I sat back. And you know, if they want me to sit back here, I'll sit as long as I can, because I'm enjoying it at the back here. Oh, you couldn't take part in the back. Oh, well, I wasn't ready to take part anyway. I didn't know how the brethren took part in things like that, but I watched them. And I often tell the people of God, it wasn't great preachers brought me to the assembly, because I heard good ones before I ever come near them. I'll give you their names later if you want them. Men who could preach. Wasn't preachers brought me to the assembly. And it's not preachers that has kept me there either. I'll tell you what brought me, brethren. It wasn't great preachers, it was great priests. Great priests. My, when I heard working men stand up on the Lord's Day, and I thought to myself, how can they do it? How can they do it? And those men stood up. I remember dear Harold Glasgow. I can see him walking in so solemnly and godly with his big Newbery Bible. I thought, well, I'd love to have a Bible like that. Well, I've never got it yet because it was too big for me. But as he brought it in the morning meeting, that dear man would rise and with a dignity, becoming not only his age and his ability and his spiritual character, he would just read a statement from the Psalms. And when he sat down, I could see the priest rising here and there across the company. And I honestly said, I'd love to be there. I would love to be there. I didn't know anything about that. And you know, there are brethren would sell out and they would take that away from us. And they'll bring anything in to disturb it too. God save us, brethren. Help us to preserve what's of God. We haven't too much more time to do it. What we need is men, sentinels of the gates like the sons of Korah, that their only interest will be to preserve what is inside. If a person comes with a letter, a proper letter, and they're visiting, I have never objected to that person being received. But I do not agree with people being received who are just friends of someone else. Sentinels at the gates. And why were the sentinels? Because the only thing, beloved friend, their heart was filled with was deep affection for the things of God and the people of God. Oh, the appreciation they had in their soul. How lovely to me, how lovely to me is the word. Are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts? My soul longeth even, yea, fainteth for the courts of the Lord. Were you ever away for a long time? I remember when I lay in hospital for weeks, yes, months. And every morning, at just a Lord's Day morning, it used to come round to 11 o'clock. I used to think, they're opening the meeting now. They're lightly singing now to Calvary, Lord, in spirit now. Our weary souls repair to dwell upon thy dying love. And taste its sweetness there. And you know, I would go through the whole meeting there, lying on the bed. And I would think, oh, how lovely. My heart longed to be with them. Oh, God, give us a deep appreciation for really what is of God. For, brethren, I want to tell you this. And I have been there, so I can speak from experience. It can never be improved on. It can never be improved on. They do it in the heart of Africa. They do it in India. They do it in Venezuela. They do it in the missionary feeders of earth. Scriptural, simple, spiritual men. And they gather saints together in the same way as we gather together. Without any man-made arrangement. And recognizing the priesthood of believers, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, there must be a volume of praise rise from priests, acceptable to God. I must hurry on. Took me an awful while to get up here, and it might take me an awful while to get down, but I'll get down shortly. I don't mean that way. Appreciation. I want you to notice there was a faction for it as well. Listen to what they say. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for her place, for a nest for where she may lay her young. Then he says, just as the swallow the bird of passage, and the sparrow very little worth, but it has found a place around in its nestings. Why, he says, I have found rest in thine altars. Thine altars, that was the attraction. Thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, they recognize the sovereignty of God. Then he says this, blessed are they that are at home in thy house. Could I ask you a question? Whether you're young, middle-aged, or like myself, older, are you really at home in the assembly? Is that your spiritual home? I have to say before God, I'm at home in God's assembly. Wonderful thing to be at home. A spiritual home in the road to the glory. And I tell you, there's no people like the people of God gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus. Wonderful thing to be at home among them. Here's the attraction. The sparrow and the swallow. Ah, he says, here's where I find my rest. Thine altars. And you remember there was two of them. There was one, dear brethren, that would remind them of their relationship with God as pilgrims. That was the brazen altar. And then there was the other that would remind them in relation to the people of God as priests, it was the golden altar. My, that we knew something about that in relation to our experience. Because I tell you, it's only a true pilgrim makes a good priest. It's only the one who's traveling home to the glory and appreciates something of the value of the brazen altar as it has met all the claims of God in relation to the burnt sacrifice. And don't forget, in the place where the burnt sacrifice was killed, God says, there shall the sin offering be killed also. It is most holy. Thine altars. There was that golden altar. And while in the Old Testament was but the sons of Levi and the Aaronic family could approach it, you and I, thank God, have the privilege of approaching the altar. You know, brethren, we have lots of workers, and I'm not minimizing that. You understand that. But do you know what our great lack today is? We have very few worshippers. Men will preach, they'll work. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. And I do believe if God gets His portion from priestly saints, there'll be no difficulty with the work. None at all. But I think the priority in the life of the child of God is to give God His portion in relation to priesthood. That was the attraction. Thine altars, my King and my God, blessed are they that are dwelling at home. You remember in the book of the Revelation, the Spirit of God says, the language of the Lord Jesus who moved in the midst of the lampstands. He said to one church, He says, I know where thou dwellest. And mind you, He still knows where we dwell. I'm not talking about your postal address. He says, I know where you're at home. Well, here where saints were at home, where the honor of God dwelt. Blessed are they that are at home in thy house, they will be still praising thee. And the happiest saints that I meet as I cross the country, and will be the testimony of many of my brethren, the happiest saints that I meet are saints that are happy in the appointed place of the Word of God. Those are the happiest saints I find. Happy and content and joyful, realizing they're in the very place. And I might say this, and I make no apology for saying it. The only thing that God recognizes in the religious world today are assemblies gathering to the name of the Lord Jesus. Unless you get a hold of that, you'll never be happy there either. You say, what about here and what about there? I want to tell you this. When you come to the Word of God, take your cue from the Holy Scriptures. God only recognizes what is of God. Assemblies gathering to the name of the Lord Jesus in keeping with that New Testament pattern. It's the only thing that we have to go by, and it's the only thing that God recognizes, because He will never recognize any principle that's outside the principles of the Word of God. Oh, you say, but there's blessing over here and there's blessing over there. Brother, and I would caution you about that. You know, God can bless in spite of anybody, for God is sovereign when it comes to blessing. If saints would get a hold of that, it would never at all sway them in their thinking. God can bless sovereignly. And thank God He'll bless in the assemblies if we put God to the test. And He has. My, when you go to conferences all across the country, and I was in Ireland there, and I looked there at that place packed out for the Bible readings, and I looked at them. And I thought to myself, thank God, God's still saving in the assemblies. God's still working in the assemblies. There was a testimony, not only to souls that had been saved, but souls that had been separated, and their only interest was the things of God. Young and old, thank God, were there. And it was a sight to behold. And all they were getting was the pure, unadulterated Word of God. Sometimes listening to men disagree, in a godly way I might say. And yet they were sitting on the edge of their seats, taking it in, and
longing for more.
You know why, brethren? They were dwelling in the house. They were at home there. They were getting the food that was necessary for them. They were happy there. But I would say this, brethren, there's no excuse for not making food available for the saints suitable to their need. We have got to be sure about that. Then you'll notice again now, here's their assertion. Blessed or happy is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways of Zion. You know, if God puts the assembly into your heart, you know there's not only a man in your heart, that Christ might be at home in your heart, says the apostle in his prayer, in the second prayer of the epistle to the Ephesians, that Christ may be at home in your heart. But you know, I tell you, there's no person, and I'd make bold to make this statement on the authority of the Word of God, there's no saint, young, middle-aged or old, will ever leave the assembly of God if they have the highways of it in their heart. Never will. Some only had it in their head, you know, and it never affected their devotion or their affections. But if you get it into your heart, the highways to Zion in your heart, and when they were away from it, my, they thought about those happy days and longed for restoration back to it. And when the tribes were gathering on those three times in the year, I can hear them say, it was good for us when they said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. And as they gathered from tribe to tribe, I can see the company growing. Why was that? Because in their heart were the highways to Zion. And I'll assure you of this, what is in your heart will generally guide your feet. What is in your heart? And when saints watch your feet, that is really only the direction of something that has been in your heart. That's it. The highway is Zion. That's the only thing was in their affections and devotions. That is the new, that is the time then when the tribes gather together and thrice in the year. You and I gather together every first day of the week. I'm speaking now about that meeting that's so intimate, so refreshing, so wonderful, where we gather in scriptural simplicity and men rise in priestly character to tell God what to think about his Son. Brethren, there's no place else like it in God's earth. Blessed are those who have the highways in their heart. It all depends what's in your heart. Notice again, if you will, it says they go from strength to strength, and every one of them appeareth in Zion before God. Because the outcome of your pathway and pilgrimage and feet will just be the motivation of what is in your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. It's a man's heart that controls him. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appeareth in Zion before God. Notice again. Verse 10, here's their apprehension of the whole thing. He says, for a day in thy courts are better than 1,000 spent elsewhere. Do you miss it? When circumstances don't permit you to be with the saints, do you really miss it? It's a great test for your affection to the house of God and the things of God and the assembly of God. That's the test. A day in thy courts are better than 1,000. Listen, spent elsewhere. That was their apprehension. What is your apprehension now that you've been in the assembly all these years? Is it as precious to you now as it used to be? Well, that's the test. Notice now, because I must finish. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I would rather stand at the threshold and look in than dwell in the tents of wickedness. I remember when I sat back. Mind you, I longed to be in. But I was willing to sit as long as those men wanted me to sit. They were a kind of scared of us at the first, you know, because there was a group of us, and we used to call ourselves the Gospel Light Bearers Testimony Band. And of course, in those days, we would have went anywhere and any place where they could give us a chance to tell how God saved us or preach the gospel. But you say, would you not do that now? Not at all. Not at all. You say, how come have you lost your devotion to the gospel? No. I didn't know in those days that service was associated with what was of God. And so they kept us back for a while. But you know, I was just as happy in the back seat, listening to men and enjoying the very thing, even though I wasn't part of it, but I was looking forward to the day when Mr. Harold Glasgow would rise and he would announce my name and they would bring me up and they would set me down. And I remember the morning they set me down, and thank God I've been there ever since. These people said, we would rather stand at the threshold and look in than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. There's the path of the pilgrim, till finally our traveling days will be over, and we'll step from the desert sands into his presence. And how good to be associated with that which God has honored until our traveling days are done. The Lord bless his work.